D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Derek Mazin and Adam Vingan here with you. Willie Donick en route to Washington, D.C. with the Predators, who will be back in action tomorrow against the Capitals. All coverage here, of course, on 102.5, 106.3. The game is a back-to-back for the Predators. They'll be in Washington tomorrow and Florida on Thursday to take on the defending Stanley Cup champion Panthers. The trade deadline in the NFL is a couple of hours away. We've already seen some big moves around the NFL. Marshawn Lattimore traded from the New Orleans Saints to the Washington Commanders. Believe that trade is now official, seeing as the Saints just tweeted about it. We've seen Mike Williams, veteran wide receiver, traded from the New York Jets to the Pittsburgh Steelers. This morning, we saw Za'Darius Smith traded from the Cleveland Browns to the Detroit Lions. So a lot of big moves happening so far today. Derek, the NFL trade deadline is interesting to me. You know, of course, I'm used to covering the NHL trade deadline. And I was mentioning this to you and Willie at one point earlier in the show, that it's interesting to me to see the value of certain players in the NFL versus the NHL. For example, Marshawn Lattimore. I am a Saints fan, as I've noted a few times over the past couple of days. Marshawn Lattimore is a great player. I would argue one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL since he entered the league. They got three draft picks for him, according to reports, which is quite the haul. I believe it was a third, a fourth, and a sixth, I want to say, according to reports. And I'm thinking to myself, if Marshawn Lattimore were an NHL player, I feel like that would be like a first-round pick and a prospect. So it's interesting for me to see the value. First of all, I feel like the NFL trade deadline today seems to be bucking that trend. But the NFL trade deadline isn't usually as active as the NHL trade deadline on the actual day. As I said, it appears that won't be the case today. But it's interesting to see the values, how valued premium players are in both leagues.
Yeah, and you know, it's hard to kind of compare, the two, because even though you have a trade deadline in the NFL, you don't see teams, or at least it's not customary for teams to, you know, make a lot of moves during the trade deadline, especially not on the last day, because you always got to come up with the compensation and then the salary, the remainder of the salary. And then is a guy on a expiring deal, or is the guy, you know, does he have 2 years left on the contract, and how much of the cap hit is that, or would that be, and how much money do you have in regards to your salary cap? So, and I'm sure it's that way in a sense with hockey. But you have to really, know what you're like. You really got to cross your T's and dot your I's in hockey, because everything is, these are, contracts that, what is the word? What am I?
They're guaranteed.
Yeah, they're guaranteed contracts. So if you trade for a guy that has 3 or 4 years left in his contract, you got to eat up that whole contract, or either try to trade that person and try to at least ask that person to take a portion of that contract, and it still ends up hurting you down the line. The NFL works that way in a sense, but it doesn't. I think I'm not going to say it's harder to move a guy in the NFL than it is in hockey, or it's harder to move a guy in hockey than it is in the NFL. It's just, I think the NFL view picks a little bit different than what hockey does. Like, hockey can draft a guy in the first round and you don't see him for the next 2 or 3 years.
Right.
And that's okay. Everybody expects that. In the NFL, you can't do that. Even with quarterbacks that you should do it with, you can't. You can't say, I'm drafting Richardson with the top three pick in the draft and say he's sitting for the next 3 years. You can't do that anymore. So those draft picks are like really like a commodity. They're really and truly a commodity. So teams are not just willing to give it up unless they feel that they are one player away, i.e. the Washington Redskins, even the Kansas City Chiefs, even though it was a fifth, but it can turn into a fourth. If you are ready to win, then you're more inclined to do that, to give up a little bit more. But if you're just making a trade to dump some salary or, you know, to move on from a veteran player and the team knows it, they're not going to give you as much. They're just not, especially if they don't need that player. That's what happened to Kansas City. They liked D-Hop, but did they need D-Hop? I don't think they needed him. So if I don't need you, but I would like you, I give you a fifth-round pick. Some people would say, well, no, you can get more for him. But Kansas City's like, okay, go try to get more from somebody else. But we're telling you what we're going to give you because in our minds, he would just be another asset that we have. We don't necessarily need him, but it's good to have him on our team. So this is what we're going to give you.
Jeremy Fowler of ESPN tweeted this before our show. So this is from before we came on the air.
Uh-huh.
That the Titans received inquiries on defensive line players, including Arden Key and Sebastian Joseph Day, per Jeremy Fowler's sources. Nothing had materialized as of this morning, but could be one to watch if a team steps up with a strong offer. So we're a couple of hours away from the trade deadline. The Titans have not made any moves since they traded DeAndre Hopkins to the Chiefs and Ernest Jones to the Seahawks. I'm wondering what Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker are going to do over the next couple of hours. Because although this team did win this past weekend, and I understand everything that Derek was saying earlier about wanting to maintain as close to a winning culture as you can by not throwing away the season for the players who are still on the team. I mean, I think we can all agree that the Titans are not in a place where they are going to be competitive this season. And I'm wondering if a player like Arden Key could be on the move now. What's Arden Key worth in a trade? Probably a sixth round pick. Maybe a fifth-round pick.
But it all depends on which team is trying to trade for him.
Right. It's probably a day two or day three pick.
Mm-hmm.
There are 3 days in the NFL draft now, right? Okay. It's so long, sometimes I forget. But it's going to be a lower-round pick. And I see the argument that, you know, a fifth-round pick, a sixth-round pick, what are the chances that that player becomes a meaningful contributor to the Tennessee Titans? Well, have you seen their special teams units lately?
Mm-hmm.
A fifth- or sixth-round pick could become a key special teamer.
Exactly.
And that could make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
I am also of the belief that the more picks you have, Jared likes to call them lottery tickets, and I agree. The more picks you have, you can take a swing on a guy, and if it doesn't work, you give yourself better odds of finding someone who can be an impactful player for you in some capacity. So I think that at this stage of the season, if Rand Carthon's main objective is to restock the cupboard with extra draft picks, which he's already started to do by trading DeAndre Hopkins and Ernest Jones, if that's the main objective for the rest of the season, if anybody calls me, if I'm Rand Carthon, and offers a draft pick of some form for Arden Key or Sebastian Joseph Day or Kenneth Murray, I take it. Like, the product on the field will suffer, especially because of all the injuries that the Titans are dealing with right now.
Mm-hmm.
We know Lloyd Cushenberry is done for the year. Quandre Diggs is done for the year. Who knows when L'Jarius Sneed will be available again? He's missed the past few weeks. Chidobe Awuzie hasn't played basically the entire season. They're dealing with a lot of significant injuries. So the depth is going to be tested. As Derek has said many times, the depth on this team is an issue. So you may be fielding an NFL Europe quality team, Shout out NFL Europe. Should have never let that end.
No, they shouldn't have.
NFL Europe. But you're going to be fielding a semi-pro team, and you're going to lose games, which would, for some Titans fans, be the right thing to do. But I just think at this stage of the season, if Rand Carthon gets a call on any of these players and he thinks this is a fair deal for my team, I think you should take it. Now, if a GM calls and say, hey, we'll give you a fifth-round pick for Harold Landry, hang up the phone. But if it's a fair value to Rand Carthon, I don't think anything should be off the table between now and, I believe, 3 o'clock when the trade deadline is over.
I mean, you're right. I think everything should be on the table, but that doesn't mean you take anything for those players. Again, everything should be on the table, but you shouldn't take anything for those particular players because you do have a few assets that you know you can sort of leverage against another team or for another team, you know, but. It also goes back to an Arden Key. Do you see Arden Key in your future moving forward for the next 3 years? Because that's essentially what you're talking. A guy like Arden Key, who is in a, what, Arden Key, what, 29, 30 years old, somewhere around there? So he
is 28.
28. So he's still a young man in football terms. So is he a guy that you see long-term? And I mean long-term, I mean 3 years. Do you see a guy? Is he a guy that you see long term, or is he a guy that you know you're going to have a problem with signing back and you may lose him for nothing? Now, you may get a compensatory pick if you do lose him. I think you would get one if he chooses to sign with another team, but you don't know what that pick will be. So you could potentially get nothing and he walk. Or do you believe that he's a part of your future moving forward with him only being 28? That's what you got to weigh. Or when you're talking about Harold Landry, Harold Landry is about 27, 28 years old. Is he another guy that you see in your future? Or is he a guy that you can sort of dangle out there and say, hey, listen, this is what we're looking for in regards to Harold Landry. We're looking for a fourth round pick, either or.
So let's use the Za'Darius Smith trade as a comparable because he is a pass rusher as well.
How old is Za'Darius? He's young too. He's what about? Is he 30 yet?
David, would you mind doing the honors of researching that for me while I pull up the return on this trade?
He is 32.
Oh, he's 32. So he's an older guy.
So the Lions. Let's see. The Browns landed a 2025 fifth rounder. And a 2026 sixth rounder for Za'Darius Smith and a 2026 seventh rounder. So if a team were to call asking for Harold Landry and they said Za'Darius Smith just went for a fifth and a sixth and another team offers you that same deal. Now, Landry is younger.
Yeah.
So you have to play that factors into it. So let's bump it up. Let's bump it up around each. Let's say a team offers you a fourth and a fifth for Harold Landry. Would you consider that?
Yeah, I would consider it. But then again, I would say, what is our plan? What is the plan? Do we see Harold Landry as a foundational piece moving forward for the next? He's 28 years old for the next 3 years, which would make him 31. So is he one of those guys that we believe that can be a cornerstone to our defense well into his early 30s? If you believe he is, then if you want to part ways with him, I think you got to start at a fourth-round pick. I think you do.
I think. Look,
but if you don't see him as that and you're just thinking, in your mind, you're not saying this to anyone,
right?
But in your mind, you're thinking, well, no, he's not a guy that we want to move forward with because of the contract and everything else. Then, yeah. Getting a fourth and a fifth would be good, but I would be looking for a fourth, possibly three picks, like Za'Darius Smith got. I would be looking for in the ballpark of a fourth 1 year, a fourth and a fifth this upcoming season, maybe a fifth or sixth in the next upcoming draft. So I will be looking for multiple picks. Not to say I would get them, But if I'm looking at his comp, in a sense, Za'Darius Smith, then I'm looking for sort of the same package, but one up on a draft slot.
Okay. So it was a fifth and a sixth for Za'Darius Smith. So because Landry is younger, I bumped it up each. I bumped it up to a fourth and a fifth.
Exactly.
And one thing, look, I'm guilty of this too with the players on my favorite teams. Fans of teams tend to overvalue their own players.
Yes.
So Harold Landry has been a productive member of the Tennessee Titans for many years. But compared to other players at his position that do the same thing, where does he truly rank? Mm-hmm. And that's the question. And so, you know, I agree with you. Like, one thing, the other thing that a lot of fans do, and again, I am guilty of this as a sports fan, when my team has a player or players who are about to enter free agency and a trade deadline is coming up and you're like, you've got to trade the guy. You can't let him walk for nothing. I'm usually of the mind that if you can get an asset for an expiring contract, you should absolutely do it. Now, if the Titans were competitive and they wanted to hold on to a guy as a quote-unquote own rental, that would make sense. Where the Titans are right now, they're not going to be competitive. They're not going to make the playoffs. I mean, if as long as it's not nailed down to the floor, the Titans should trade it, and even then they should get a crowbar and try to get it out of the floor if it is nailed down to the floor. But it will be interesting to see what happens. David has sent me a text. Okay. From Diana Russini, very popular around these parts, mm-hmm. of The Athletic. She tweets, the Titans have received calls on a trio of defenders, Jeffrey Simmons, mm. Arden Chow Key, Chad. And Sebastian Joseph Day. Mm-hmm. So according to Diana Russini, the Titans have received calls on Jeffrey Simmons, Arden Key, and Sebastian Joseph Day. And let's talk about Jeffrey Simmons for a moment, and then we'll have Clark Lee on in the next segment. Jeffrey Simmons, to me, is the perfect example of a player that Titans fans overvalue. He is one of the highest paid players at his position. Jeremy Fowler, when he did his positional rankings in the offseason, when he talks to executives and such, Jeffrey Simmons, I believe, was fourth among defensive tackles in the NFL. So people certainly do think highly of Jeffrey Simmons around the league. But the production, albeit this past weekend, he was very good against the Patriots. We do have to point that out. Although it was the Patriots, he was good against the Patriots. Jeffrey Simmons is exactly the type of player where I think Titans fans have an overinflated opinion of Jeffrey Simmons relative to other players at his position that make a similar amount of money.
Yeah, I mean, again, if you trade Jeffrey Simmons, that is a sort of a organizational shift. If you trade Jeffrey Simmons, not to say that they won't and they could, but if you trade Jeffrey Simmons, that is a organizational shift. You just paid him 2 years ago. You just gave him this massive contract 2 years ago. You just said he was your leader. He was one of the leaders on the team, and he's your leader on defense. So you go from all of that to then then potentially trading him away. Now, listen, you would have to get a first or second round pick if you're going to trade away Jeffrey Simmons. Because, again, as much as we are probably disappointed with Jeffrey Simmons' play thus far this season, he's still a hell of a player.
So Diana Russini, she added another tweet to this. She said, I had one team say today we gave Tennessee a call just to check on Simmons, but we knew the answer before we even picked up the phone. It was no.
Okay.
Well, so because they understand that, listen, you can call about our guy and we can't stop you from calling. But we know once we pick up that call and if we decide to go down that road, there's a shift. You're making a shift in your organization.
That certainly feels, of all of the trades the Titans could make, If you are trading Jeffrey Simmons, similar to the Saints trading Marshawn Lattimore, if you are trading Jeffrey Simmons, that is a clear indication to your fan base that this is a dreaded rebuild. Yeah. That is the move.
Yeah, I can't see it being anything else other than that because, again, he is your top player. And I know the season hasn't gone the way we would have liked it in regards to his play, but he still is a guy that offenses game plan for. Four hands on him. Make sure you know where he's at all times, because if you don't, he can wreck a game if you leave him one-on-one. So if you do go down that road of potentially trading him, yeah, you're telling your fam, you're telling everybody, listen, we're starting over. Because we've essentially given away our best player. I know many people say Pollard is the best player, which he probably is, based on the way he's played this season. Yeah, he is. But make no mistake, Jeffrey Simmons is their best player.
615-737-1025. We will be joined next by Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee. The Commodores are bowl eligible for the first time since 2018. We will talk to Clark about that and more. Derek Mason and Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game. D-Maze Vingan and Donick, 1025, 1063, the game. Adam Vingan and Derek Mason here with you, joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee. Clark, first off, congratulations on your win this weekend, becoming bowl eligible for the first time since 2018. And after the win, Diego Pavia was interviewed on the field by SEC Network, and he told an interesting story about his first interaction with you. He said the first time he walked into your office, he looked you dead in the face and said, "I'm going to take you to a bowl game." And he said that you hesitated a little bit after you heard that and said, "If you take me to a bowl game, you can have anything you want." Well, I want to hear about that conversation from your perspective.
Well, it was two competitive people and hungry people that were locked in a moment where, guarantees were being thrown out. And I was liking what I was hearing. But Diego's a special, special guy. And he's everything he said to me, he's followed through on. You know, it's just incredible the level of consistency he's shown and the level of impact he's had on our program. And he'll continue to have. And I think there's both a feeling of, charging at this final stretch of the season and what comes after that we're going to try to make as good as we can possibly make it, but also a legacy that he leaves in just a short time where, he's kind of reset the expectations of that quarterback position and what it means to put the team on your back. I mean, it's been incredible to watch, but certainly I remember that moment and one of many that I've shared with them that are deeply meaningful for me.
A major part of your team's win on Saturday was special teams. We have been talking a lot about special teams around these parts as it relates to the Titans specifically, but your special teams has been clutch all season long. What's been the key for that unit to be as productive as it has been?
Well, we've strengthened in that area through our time here, and a lot of that has to do with just upgrading personnel as we've gone and recruited and retained the right guys, and we've gotten bigger, faster, stronger. And on special teams, when it comes to return units, covering the other team up in the blocks, or with respect to when we're covering punts or kicks, closing spaces and being physical. I mean, those are things that take the physical traits. That said too, we've had a system here that we've retained the entire time. Obviously with Justin Lustig leaving and Jeff Lepak taking over, we kept the DNA the same. So there's a comfortability in the system. Again, we've continued to upgrade personnel and that's helped. And then you've got a couple of folks that are really, really standing out right now. Just in terms of elevating the play on the field. And, you know, you look at Brock Taylor and what he's done. You look at Jesse Mirko and what he's done in our kicking game. And then, you know, Martel Hyde as a returner certainly has made a great impression. And Julian Ashby, our snapper, too. You can't talk about the kicks and the punts without acknowledging the fact that someone's got to deliver that ball on time and in location. And so all of that goes kind of together to make for a winning formula. You know, and I think what we want is to go a little bit further. I mean, you know, just to continue to generate explosive plays that help change the game. One of the key factors in this weekend's game will be field position. And obviously, that goes through all three units, but special teams will play a huge role in making sure our offense has short fields and their offense plays on long fields. But for us to win right now, it's obviously an important part. It's foundational to our success. And so we put a lot of time and attention to that. And we're led by a great special teams coordinator, and our players have bought into it.
Yeah, you guys are doing a wonderful job in the special teams area. A lot of times if you see a good special teams coach, typically the team is a good team as well, because a lot of those special teams guys are your second tier guys. They're not normally your starters, but they're the guys behind them. So when you can have a wonderful special teams like you guys have, that's a testament to the roster and to your team as a whole.
And I agree with that wholeheartedly, and we talk about that. I mean, if you look at, you know, bowl eligible teams, if you look at championship teams, the correlation between special teams play and, you know, elevating team performance, it's not subtle. I mean, it's dramatic. Mm-hmm. And so, as you know, there are teams that can, we have a study that goes back a ways and talks about NFL teams that have made it to the Super Bowl and, you know, done some great things that were really underperforming in one of the three phases, but it wasn't special teams. If you can be a lead in that area, you have a direct impact, even when you're underperforming in offense or underperforming in defense. Those teams, you know, give yourself a chance.
Now, Diego gets a lot of the shine on this offensive unit, and rightfully so. The kid is just he's just a dog out there. He's going to do it all, whatever it takes to win a football game. But you look at guys like Eli Storr, your tight end, who's leading the SEC in yardage, receiving yardage amongst tight ends. How special is this young man? Because a quarterback, two best friends to a quarterback is obviously the run game, but then most importantly, after that, a reliable tight end, a guy that, you know, you could throw between the hashes, a guy that's going to make those tough and hard catches for you. And it seems like Eli has been that guy for Diego.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, they have a really cool connection in general. I mean, Eli was a quarterback and competed against Diego at New Mexico State and, you know, made the transition to tight end, but even a year ago was still in the quarterback room with meetings and that sort of thing. Obviously, in coming here, he came to play tight end. So now this is his first full season training as a tight end and in the tight end meeting room. And man, has he made a difference for us. Such a reliable target, such an explosive playmaker. Obviously has a big catch and takes a huge hit at the end of the game to get us a 10-point lead. And that's, you know, that's been just part of the story of our season is his performance, and he's getting recognized now as a result, and he should. He's earned it. And I think we're just only scratching the surface of what he's capable of. And I think Eli will be a guy that has an opportunity to play a long time in the NFL. I mean, he's got a real skill set. But the coolest thing about him is he's an absolute ambassador for our program. He's a great human being, very deep faith and a spiritual leader within the team. This guy is just all class. And, you know, I just like with Diego, I mean, I think, you know, paths intersect for a reason. These guys, you know, having the chance to come here and us having the chance to welcome them in has certainly made a deep impact on our success this season. But I think also has established and deepened the foundation here that will be a legacy, like I mentioned earlier, for future success too.
Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee joining us as he does every Tuesday at 1:30. Clark, again, congratulations on being bowl eligible. Good luck this weekend against South Carolina.
Thanks so much. Good to be with you guys.
Yep.
Our pleasure. Clark Lee joining us on the program. Vanderbilt, number 24 Vanderbilt, mm-hmm. hosts South Carolina this weekend at 3:15. One trade in the NFL during our conversation with Clark Lee. The Steelers, who have been busy today, are acquiring veteran pass rusher Preston Smith from the Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
So the Steelers are acquiring Packers veteran pass rusher Preston Smith. They've already acquired Mike Williams from the Jets. The Steelers, another team in position that they did not expect to be in, perhaps, at the start of the season, are going for it as well. We will wrap up the show with our final thoughts as the NFL trade deadline nears. What do we expect the Titans to do? Derek and I will discuss that next. This is DVD 1025, 1063, the game. D-Mace Vingen and Donick 1025, 1063, the game. Derek Mason and Adam Vingen here with you. Stillman and Company coming up next on 1025, 1063, the game. Also a selfish programming note, because the Predators are playing tomorrow. Preds Insiders will be on tonight. Robbie Stanley joined me for the program this week. I believe it is on after Stillman and Company, right after Stillman and Company, right here on 1025, 1063, the game, so you can get your Predators fix there.
Get your Predators.
So the trade deadline, the NFL trade deadline is upon us. It's an hour plus away. We shared some interesting news from Diana Russini before we talked to Clark Lee. She tweeted 25 minutes ago, the Titans have received calls on a trio of defenders, Arden Key, no surprise, Sebastian Joseph Day, no surprise,
no.
And Jeffrey Simmons. She then followed that up with a tweet that said, I had one team say today we gave Tennessee a call just to check on Simmons, but we knew the answer before we even picked up the phone. It was no. Yeah.
So I'd be like, I would have said, well, why you calling me? If you knew I'm going to say no, why you calling me?
Hey, Rand, how's it going? How's the family? Great win. Hey, is Jeffrey Simmons available? How's everything else?
How's the wife? You know,
yes.
Slip that in real quick.
Exactly. Also, by the way, an update on a trade we talked about before the break. The Steelers are sending a 7th-round pick to the Packers for edge rusher Preston Smith. So there you go. But, I mean, it's interesting. Look, I learned this at a young age. There used to be a kid show on when I was a kid called Allegra's Window. I don't know if any
Allegra's
of you
Window.
Allegra's Window.
Yeah, man. I'm 50 years old, so I know I didn't watch that.
I'm 28. I know I didn't watch that.
Shout out Allegra's Window. If anyone else has heard of Allegra's Window, please text it to us. I learned by watching that show, you never know until you try.
Yeah,
and that's what these other GMs were doing. You never know. Maybe Rand Carthon might have picked up the phone and said, you know what? I will trade Jeffrey Simmons today. I hadn't thought of that.
Well, two first-round picks. Two first-round picks. Give it up.
But it's interesting that, you know, considering where the Titans are, teams think that they can call and legitimately ask about Jeffrey Simmons.
You might as well.
Yeah, you might as well. Derek, you mentioned no mention in that, of course, of Harold Landry.
Yes.
So that must mean that Harold Landry is not on the market unless someone decides to blow Rand Carthon's socks off in the next hour or so.
I think it's hard, Adam, to trade homegrown players that are playing well, because ultimately that's what you want. You want to be able to draft these young men and develop them, and they become cornerstones of your franchise. They are a part of helping you win. And Harold Landry has been all of that. He's been a cornerstone. He's worked his way through injury, came back. You know, he started off slow last year, but came on strong, and he picked up where he left off last season, this season. So it's hard to trade away guys like that I actually went out and drafted and you've watched progress through your program. But for the other guys like a D-Hop, as much as you loved him and respected him here, he wasn't a guy you drafted. Or the linebacker that they end up getting from the Rams. He wasn't a draft pick of theirs.
Ernest Jones.
He wasn't a draft pick or someone else that they parted ways with this season. they were not draft picks. It's harder to trade away guys that you scouted than end up having a consensus, this guy can help our team. It was hard for them to trade away Kevin Byard last year. I understand that. So to trade away for a guy like Harold Landry to come up in trade talks early, that's especially when he's playing well, that's a hard trade to make. You got to give me extra, not because he's this Joey Bosa type of guy. I don't even want to say Joey Bosa. Let me take that out. He's one of these other type of guys. I'm not a big Bosa fan, but anyway, he's not one of those guys, but he's the guy that you drafted.
Bosa catching strays in this segment Bosa for some reason.
Catching strays.
That's can't
all.
Believe that.
Yeah.
Man.
But he's a guy that you drafted, so it's hard to walk away from guys like that. You know. So I can see why a guy like Harold Landry is not mentioned. And a guy like Jeffrey Simmons is like, nah, we're not trading him away. As much as fans would probably, you know, say, hey, if you can get 2 first-round draft picks for Jeffrey, take it. Yeah, I would too, but you got to think long or hard about that.
And you don't see first-round draft picks traded a lot in the NFL.
Especially if they're productive. If they're out there doing their job.
Well, let me rephrase. I'm sorry. Not players who were drafted with a first-round pick, but first-round draft picks that that teams can use in the draft.
Absolutely. So, I mean, listen, I'm not sure if there are going to be many moves made. What we have up until 3 o'clock. Is it 3 o'clock Central?
Yeah, 3 o'clock Central.
Yeah, 3 o'clock Central.
So we got just a little bit over an hour. I'm not sure if the Titans are going to make many moves. I would be surprised if a guy like Harold Landry is moved. Arden Key, not so much so, but I think Arden Key's a good player. Sebastian Day, I think if he got traded, I wouldn't be surprised, even though I think he's a good player too. But do you see him as a guy that you're going to have on your team for the, you know, foreseeable future?
I would like to see Arden Key traded. He's certainly playing like a guy
who wants to be traded. He is.
He's been quite productive these past couple of weeks. His stock is high. Strike while the iron is hot. I would like to see I would like to see Arden Key traded. And we'll see if there's some. There may be someone that we're not thinking about. We brought up Tyler Boyd yesterday. Uh-huh. You know, if a receiver needy team is, you know. They're desperate. Look, it's last call. Bar's about to close. You haven't closed. You need somebody. Tyler Boyd is there, and you might be able to do something desperate in order to take Tyler Boyd home with you. I have no experience in this whatsoever. So you might be able to do something desperate, but I would like to see at least one trade. I mean, Arden Key seems like the number one candidate to be moved. He's been mentioned a couple of times even before this weekend. He's had a couple of big games in a row. I would like to see Arden Key moved, even if it's just for a fifth round pick or a sixth round pick. If you want to keep, you know, getting those so-called lottery tickets, that's what I would do.
Yeah, I mean, if they chose to move away from Arden Key and get some picks, I wouldn't be opposed to it. But if you don't, then you got to think, you know, about, okay, is he a guy, because he's on the expiring contract, I believe, is he a guy that we want to re-sign based upon the way he's been playing?
We'll see what the Titans do. The trade deadline is approaching. Jared will provide all updates on Stillman and Company, and we will react to what happened at the NFL trade deadline tomorrow at 11 o'clock, right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Be love, love on your people. Have a wonderful and blessed Tuesday. And remember, I know it's election day, but that doesn't mean you have to be ugly to one another. Regardless of who wins, let's be Americans, let's love one another, and do as Christ said, love your neighbor, okay? So peace, have a wonderful day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.